Thank you for listening to our podcast. Church at the Well is a community practicing the way of Jesus and thirsting for the life he gives.
That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about peace. And the Greek word for peace, because the New Testament was written in Greek, is the word eirene. And it's used 92 times in the New Testament. It also has a Hebrew cousin, the word shalom. How many of you have heard the word shalom before? That means peace in Hebrew. And so these two words, shalom and eirene, these two words for peace mean completion. They mean wholeness. And it's not just the absence of conflict. It's the presence of something better in its place. It has the idea, these two words have the idea of a stone without any cracks. Or like a wall without any missing bricks. It's an image of something that exists in a state of completeness, in a state of wholeness. And there are three different ways that this Greek word, eirene, or peace, is used in the New Testament. It's used to describe three different kinds of peace. And the first kind of peace it's used to describe is peace with God. The second kind of peace that it describes is peace of God. And then the third kind of peace that it describes is peace with others. And so I just want to unpack really quickly what each of these means. When we look at peace with God, the Greek word eirene, this is the kind of peace that Ephesians 2 talks about when it says this, Jesus is our peace. Right? Jesus restored to wholeness or completeness the relationship that was cracked and broken between us and our Creator. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Because therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace, that word's eirene, with God, because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We're going to celebrate our peace with God when we come to the communion table a little bit later today. When we come to the communion table, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, right? And how we have peace with God. But eirene is also used to describe peace of God, meaning that the peace that God gives us. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is the same kind of peace that Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 4, talks about when it says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a peace that we cannot fabricate, that we on our own. It's a peace that's given to us by God. It's a peace that comes from God. It's a peace that holds up under pressure, that guards our hearts and minds when we're surrounded by chaos and turmoil and trouble. I'm reminded of a story I heard once about a person who hired an assistant to do all of his worrying for him so he could be at peace. And he was offering a salary of $350,000 for this job. And the assistant was really happy to accept the job and said, I'm just curious, how are you ever going to afford my salary? And the person said, that's what I'm hiring you for. Because how many of you would love an assistant just to do all of your worrying for you? But there's a peace with God that we have, the scriptures talk about. Then there's the peace of God, which is a gift from God, right? We cannot fabricate it on our own. But the word eirene is also used to describe not just peace with God, not just peace of God, but also it's used to describe peace with others. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, work. How many know this is work? Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Work at living at peace. It's what Romans 12:18 means when it says, do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. And so now that we've looked at like the word eirene, the Greek word for peace, and the three different kinds of peace, I want to spend a few moments to point out three primary villains that try to steal our peace. Three primary villains that try to steal our peace. And the first one, the first thief of our peace, is sins of the past. And I think this is twofold, because it's our own personal sins and failures, but it's also the sins and failures of others towards us, right? Both those things can steal our peace. Which is why the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 43, verse 18, he admonishes us, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, Isaiah is not suggesting that we should never think about the past. How many have learned from your past experiences? Sometimes it's good to reflect on your past, right? Like, oh, I learned something there that I don't want to do again. Or when I look at my past, yes, I grew from that. I learned from that. But what Isaiah is getting at here is we have to be careful to not allow our past to steal our present peace. Right? This is something that I'm learning, that if I want to cultivate God's peace in my life, I have to learn how to resist the urge to dig up the past unless the Holy Spirit is the one initiating the digging. Does that make sense? Can I give you an example? So just this past week, I was remembering something stupid that I said to someone. Have you ever done that? You're in a conversation with someone and you say, like, you put your foot in your mouth, right? You say something stupid and you didn't catch it, and then you realize, like, well, that was really dumb to say. And even though I went back soon after, God, I guess I could tell you what happened. but no judgment, right? So I have this friend, and he works for this company that I have feelings about. But I didn't know this friend worked at that company. And I said something dumb. I said, that company is the bane of society. And then another friend who was privy to the conversation said, you know that that person works for that company, right? I said, no. I did not know that. And so I like did some damage control, right, as best as I could. It was a stupid, like, ignorant opinion, right, that I should have not said. But I went back and said, I'm sorry for this. I didn't realize that he worked for that company. And they were very gracious and very forgiving. But this week, I don't know why, but I'm driving in my car, and I remember me saying that stupid thing. And you've probably done this, right? Like, I'm so stupid. Like, why would I say that? That's so dumb. I guess I'm the only person who has ever done that before. But you know what I'm talking about, right? When those thoughts come. And what we have to do is we have to discern, why is this being dug up right now? And something that I'm learning is that I have to resist the urge to dig up the past unless the Holy Spirit's the one who's initiating the digging. What I mean by that is that whenever the Holy Spirit digs up something from my past, it's always for the sake of wholeness. It's always restorative. It's always leads me to healing. It leads to reconciliation. It leads to repentance. It leads to forgiveness. And so I'm learning how to discern, hey, when this past is getting dug up, is the Holy Spirit initiating it? In other words, is it leading me to wholeness, or is it leading me to shame? Because the Holy Spirit never digs stuff up in our past that feels condemning or shaming. Now, it can be convicting, right? But the scripture tells us that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So when the Holy Spirit digs something up in our past, it can be convicting, but it's for the purpose of healing, restoration, reconciliation, repentance, forgiveness. It leads us to wholeness. But when we're digging up, or the enemy's digging up stuff in our past, it leads us to what? To shame and condemnation. Sometimes we've got to shut that down. Because our past can rob our present peace. And so we have to ask the question, when we're digging up our past, is this leading me to wholeness, or is it leading me to shame? And if it's leading me to wholeness, the Holy Spirit's probably involved. There's probably some like repentance, some reconciliation, some restoration, some healing that needs to happen, right? And that can be through a counselor or a therapist or a good friend or just a random thought while you're driving your car. Or it can be the other thing, where it feels shaming, and you've already done the work that the Holy Spirit's invited you to do. And that's when you have to recognize, wait, this is going to steal my peace that God's planted. Okay, so that's the first thief. The first thief is sins of the past. A second common thief of our peace is our present circumstances. Our present circumstances. So it's our sins of the past, it's our present circumstances. And we shouldn't be surprised when our circumstances try to steal our peace. And Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Then he says this, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the New Testament book of 1 Peter, we're told to not be surprised when trouble comes our way. Trouble is going to come our way, right? Right? You know that, right? You're thinking, Adam, you have to be more positive. I'm positive. Trouble is going to come our way because it's part of life. Trouble's going to come our way. Present circumstances are going to be troublesome. And something I'm learning is that circumstances, our present circumstances, I'll speak for me, my present circumstances are less apt to steal my peace when I invite Jesus into them. And sometimes I do that well, and sometimes I don't. I had two opportunities to practice this week. One was on Thursday. I had booked my full day Thursday, and I was very excited. It was a mix of fun and work and just some fun conversations, but the whole day was booked. But I had a board meeting. I sit on this board. Then they meet early on Thursday from 7:30, and it went like really longer than it was supposed to go. And I just started feeling like the anxiety swelled for me, like, I'm not going to get all this stuff that I have on my schedule today because now it's the next 45 minutes. I have to try to. And so I got in my car, and I was going off to the next thing, and I felt like I did this successfully. I just said, okay, God, I'm really anxious right now. I'm going to invite you into my day, and just remind me that there's some things I'm going to get done today, and there's some things I'm not, but it's okay. But when I do that successfully, it feels like Jesus is there guarding my heart and mind and helping me protect my peace, the peace of God, right? There's another time when I didn't do that successfully this week. That was yesterday. I was just getting ready to leave the house around dinner time, and the expansion tank on my water heater blew a hole in it because the pressure was, I don't know. I'm not a plumber, but it blew a hole through the metal tank, and water's just spewing out everywhere, and I'm like, oh, great, right? Because it's the weekend. I'm going to have to pay triple for somebody to come and fix this. I was grumpy. My wife's not here today because she's in New Hampshire with my daughter at her volleyball tournament. But she would be nodding her head, yeah, you were grumpy. I was grumpy. I was not peaceful. I was peace empty. I was peace deprived. And sometimes it takes me a minute. Is there anybody like that? Or it takes you a minute just to collect. I got in my car. I drove to Home Depot. And my car is a place where God meets me. Often. And I'm driving in my car, and you know, I'm not peaceful. I'm irritated. I'm agitated. They don't have the part, and I don't even know if I could fix it. But I do have the part, so I drive back, and I just talked with God. Okay, it's just money, right, God? God, I'm going to invite you into this circle. It took me a while. But I finally got to the place where I was inviting God into that circumstance. It's just money, God, right? It's just money. And it's just hot water. We'll figure this out, God. And this morning, we did have somebody come and fix it last night. And this morning, I went to turn on the shower and realized that I didn't have hot water. And so the peace was again. Another test, another trial. Invite God into my circumstances. But how many of you guys know this, that when we talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's not something that's going to ripen overnight. It takes time. And what else does it take? Practice. Just to invite the Holy Spirit, to invite Jesus into those spaces so he can protect the peace of God in our lives. The third, and I think this is the most experienced thief of our peace, is worrying about our future, right? Sins of the past can rob our peace. Present circumstances could rob our peace. But I think the most experienced thief is worrying about our future. When we allow tomorrow's imaginary situations to disrupt us and steal the peace that God is planting in us. Jesus exhorts us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." How many can say amen to that? And it's easy to say amen to that, but how do you do it? How do you not worry about tomorrow and let tomorrow worry about itself? How do you meet today's problems with today's strengths? And I think that's a bigger conversation than we have time for today. And to be honest, I'm even less successful at this one, at apprehending this thief, than the other two. And that's saying something, right? But it's hard, isn't it? When you have really legitimate things to worry about, you're not just making up things to worry about, you have really legitimate things to worry about. It's hard to do this, but here's what brings me great courage and hope. I know that the Holy Spirit's committed to teaching me how to do that. Do you guys believe that? That the Holy Spirit's actually committed to teaching us how to do what Jesus tells us here. To not worry about tomorrow, to let tomorrow worry about itself.
You're listening to the official podcast of Church at the Well in Burlington, Vermont. For more information about Church at the Well, including gathering time and location, events, and how you can financially support the podcast, please visit us online at www.wellchurchvt.com.